Well, that is very welcoming. How are you guys doing today? Awesome, awesome. It's really awesome to see a lot of beautiful faces. How you doing, brother? What's up? What's up, Dre? Earlier, I almost called him Dr. Dre. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And every visitors in the house, we want to take this moment to acknowledge you. We pray that, the Father led you today and that, you receive something by the time you exit this place. I am a big believer in praying before starting, before teaching. But one other thing is, I was sitting down here earlier, the Father kind of, as we were praying, and it's so interesting because I heard a few people were saying, an apostle was saying it, and I heard Sierra kept saying the same thing, and it was boiling in my spirit in regards to consuming fire. And it's interesting because the word says that God is a consuming fire. And then Jesus says, zeal for your house is consume me. So he says, God is a consuming fire. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, is a consuming fire. But then our brother Jesus says that, you know what? Zeal for your house consumes me. And the Father kind of brought this up just to kind of, and it's actually part of our teaching, but I wanted to kind of just bring it forth before we even go there, simply because he wants us to know that in your life, he doesn't want half of it, but he wants to consume your life. And when you think about something being consumed, what do you think about? If fire consumes something, what happened? Completely gone. There is no left over. So it literally burned it from, inside out. There's literally no remaining. It's literally completely gone. But then I said, you know what? I see why Jesus says, you know what? Zeal for your house shall consume me. Because, and at the same time, that's why the Bible says that Satan got nothing on him. There's no weight. He cannot use nothing to say, yeah, I got you in this. Because Jesus said, my life is already consumed. I'm already consumed, so there is nothing left over. There's nowhere in my life you can pull something to use against me because I don't have a life. Amen? The moment he answered the call, he says, no, I don't have a life anymore. And it is a process, amen? But as I was hearing this, what I truly believe the Father is telling us in this season, in this time, in this generation, is to be consumed. The only way you can receive the life, as the word says, that is hidden in Christ, your life has to be consumed. That is the only way. The word says that all life is hidden where? So in order for us to receive that life, our life, Kirby Pierre, Dr. Hardy, Prophet Eskina, Apostle Sierra, you shouldn't have a life anymore. And it is a process. It's a growing process. It's a stage. But that's the place the Father is calling us into. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, He's calling us to a place where you don't have a motive, an agenda. Nothing can hold you down. When you wake up in the morning, nothing can keep you. Because the truth of it is, most of the time, what really keep us from really entering in, as we, often during service, Apostle would probably, as he's praying, will lead us into, enter in. The truth of it is, we want to enter in, but there's so much, your life is, you literally have 95% of other things occupied in your mind, in your space. So by the time you get here, you literally just have 5%. Father, okay, that 5%, and he can use it. He will use it. But the truth is that he's trying to get 100%. Amen? He's trying to go in 100%. Like, so that way when you enter in a brother, Jesus says, you know what? Zeal. Just a passion for your house. A passion to do your will. A determination to do what you have called me to do. It consumed me so much that I don't have nothing else on my page. It consumed me so much, and it makes so much sense. He says, you know what? My meat and drink. And we know that hunger can be difficult. If you fast for 1 or 2 or 3 days, for me, most of the time, day one, it can, okay, start a little migraine, little things like that. But he was at a place, and he said, you know what? Such a passion to do my Father's will. I don't have an agenda. I kill myself. I kill my everything that he says he's a dead man. So that the will of my Father, the one that sent me, may take place. Amen? And that is a place that the Father's calling us. You know, if you could just close your eyes for a quick second and Father, we thank you. Abba, we just love you. Father, we give you permission to disrupt our life. It doesn't matter how difficult, even if we don't want to let go. But that 5%, Father, that small percentage that we have control over, let it, Father God, turn into 100%. Just our yes, Father, even in this very moment. Let it be enough for you to use it, Father, to disrupt. To come in, Father, and dwell. To do whatever you want to do for your fire. Hallelujah, Father. Let your fire burn. Whatever weight, whatever distraction, whatever entertainment, our busy schedule, our busy time, our 10 years plan, Father. A 5 years plan. Let it be consumed by your fire. Let they be consumed by your fire. Because we did not create ourselves. You created us. You predestined us. You knew us before the foundation of the world. So Father, let it be done. No more, Father God, our own opinion. No more, Father God, our perspective, no more ourself, no more self-centered, no more. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. We thank you all for joining us today in such a special day, Father's Day. We want to one more time acknowledge every father in this house, every man, every brothers, every son. We want to acknowledge you. We want to thank you for your label of work, for your dedication, actually for surrender yourself, for giving yourself. Because, you know, parents had, I have an awesome father. I want to actually, you know, shout out to him right now, Pastor Tony, Mr. Tony. That's actually my middle name. But often, not many people knows that I have a middle name. So it's Kirby Tony Pierre. I wanted to acknowledge him in this moment because he is indeed, you know, he raised 8 kids, and I know that we were 8 trouble. So it wasn't always easy, and he did it. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. You know, he pulled through. So we want to give him all his flowers right now. You know, he is probably at home watching TV or soccer at this moment. We want to say thank you to you and every dad and every father. You know, because we know that it takes a level of dedication. You know, it takes a level of dedication to say, you know what, I'm going to raise a son or raise a daughter, raise a family. You know. And lose your own agenda. Like, no, I don't have, it's no more about me or my plans or any of that. This is the number one ministry. So we wanted to acknowledge you for that, and we want to thank you, all of you guys. We want to thank Apostle and Dr. Hardy for entrusting me with this mic. they give me this mic, so I'm guessing, so I'm not going to wild out, so don't worry. So it takes a level of trust. So I appreciate you guys very much. I appreciate my wife for your support, and most importantly, you guys. You guys are awesome. I would, this is the best ministry. I wouldn't change it for nobody else, for nothing else. You know, being a pastor in this ministry, it is an honor. It's been an honor. Amen? So you guys have not made the work, the role difficult at all. I sometimes think that I'm a comedian, so bear with me, bear with me. I'm not always, just tight, I like to have, like, I'm one of those person, I have a different personality. I guess they said I am a pastor. Don't worry, I'm not going to bring props up here and then just like, flowers and then, barbers, all of that. No, we're not going to do all of that. We're not going to go that far. Okay, Apostle, say stop. But I say that to say, we're going to have a little bit of fun, right? Amen, 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 amen. You can tell me afterwards, Apostle. Awesome. So, so far, this is our third week. We have been teaching on the series. It's called Strengthening the Bond. Apostle did the first week. I'm not going to necessarily do any recap. The first week was the foundation of identity, spirit of adoption. So what you can actually, it's on the podcast. Go and check it out. That way you can have the entire series. The second week, well, last Sunday, our awesome pastor KP did phase two. So we pretty much have four phases. Phase one, Apostle did it. Phase two, Pastor KP did it last week, which is stewardship of the name, bearing his character, carrying the Father's character. And today I will be bringing for you phase three. And phase three is the household economy, which is kind of interesting because for the past, going to three months now, my wife and I, we have been teaching on stewardship and economy and just really finance and stewarding, and the Father's house. But I, with this teaching, we're definitely going to be touch base on that as well. But we want to go a little bit deeper in a different perspective, in a different aspect, a different view, a different lens as well. Amen. So when we talk about the household economy as a children of God, we have to see it from our Father, our Heavenly Father perspective. If we can bring the music down just a little bit. Okay, yeah, that's better. From our Father point of view. So when we say that, we are talking about a son that is living in the will of his Father. So I know that's a little bit different because when you think about, household economy, the first thing you automatically think about is finance, which some aspect of it can be that. But more in a spiritual aspect, from the Father perspective, we're talking about a son that is living in the will of his Father. And we're also talking about a son that is concerned with the business of his Father, where you surrender your life for that. That's why we brought up the whole concept of being like where the zeal of the Father's house consume you. And a son that has shifting his mind from just a servant to a partner. Because essentially the Father is, there are stages. There is a stage where we entering into the family. We enter into the relationship. We're getting to know our Father. We're getting to know him as daddy. We knew into the relationship. There is no pressure. There's a stage as we mature. Now we can start serving. Amen? We're still growing, but we're serving. But there's a stage also once you pass the intro, the serving, now the Father is calling you to a deeper place. And what is that? Partnership, responsibility. It's no longer, you know, after a while, your job is no longer to just come and sit. After a while, your job is no longer to come and teach. In the beginning, your first year, hey, you know, I just want to be part of this. You know, this awesome ministry. I just want to serve. Not even serving. I just want to be part of this. You're growing. Amen? But then there's a stage after a while, it's no longer a matter of just come in and eat anymore. You're still eating, but you also... And that's what the Father is calling us into. The reality of this is that is really what truly household economy is about. So the word household means oikos. Of course, we know that none of us ever says those Greek terms the right way. So I'm not even going to apologize for them. So it's oikos. And you would think that I should probably know better because as a foreigner myself, but it don't really matter. Yeah, I probably say the worst. So it's oikos. It spells O-I-K-O-S. And that word pretty much means family, house, family line, dwelling place. Amen? So I just kind of want to give you like a little, you know, breakdown, and then we'll go a little bit deeper. So it means family, house, family line, dwelling place. It is pretty much the entire family system under the authority of the head of the house. So when you hear the concept of household, it's pretty much the entire family system, the whole system of the family being under the house, under the leadership of that household. So when we say household, it is not just a building, but we are also talking about the father, the mother that's in the house, the children, the resource, the family rules, we're going somewhere, the inheritance, and the family business. So when we hear the term household, all of that is part of it. All inclusive. Now, let's go to economy. Because we say our theme is household economy. So I want to give you guys some clear understanding on that. The Greek word for economy is oikonomia. And they pretty much break it down in two phases, in two words. So it's two words that join together to create one. So the first part of the word is house. It comes back again. House, that's the Greek term, and household. Now, the second part of the word is nomos, which is management and administration. So the whole word by itself is oikonomia. Now, the breakdown, the true definition of it is it's one that is managing the father's or the family's resource, affair, business, or family estate. So oikonomia is a person that is managing his family's resource. So as children of God, what are we? We're managers. But we're going to go a little deeper now. Because we're not just talking about your household. It's not just your household. Because that's the first thing we think about. So what did Jesus say? Let me bring it back. He says, zeal for your house. What happened? Consume me. So he's not talking about his house. I mean, honestly, we don't even know really where did he ever really stay. Because he said he'd never had a home. So he's talking about the father's house. But better yet, when we're thinking about house, we often just think about just the building, just mom and dad and all that kind of stuff. Anything and everything that is connected with the house is the Father's house. That, and even including your gift, your talent. So when he says managing, or when Jesus says that, hey, you know what? Zeal for your house, it pretty much, it's literally, he's talking about everything that the Father has called him to do. Anything that he, that the Father has put a stamp behind it, everything the Father called his, that is his duty to manage it. And fulfilling that is the zeal that consumes him. Am I making sense? So pretty much him saying that, hey, you know what? Waking up every morning just to die on the cross, that was consuming him. Or waking up to actually day-to-day assignment, that consumes him. To heal the blind, that consumes him. To help somebody to make sure that, hey, you know what? They know about the Father's will, that consumes him. To reveal the kingdom, that consumes him. Amen? Anything, everything that the Father says is mine or is his, he says, you know what? That consumes me. So he pretty much saying that, you know what? Everything that the Father has, in the better, perfect example for us as God's children, is that often when we say household, and of course, and it is a part, there is an aspect where, you know, the Father train you in your own house first. That's what the word says. You know, it's when you're faithful over your house, then he can actually use you in his house. But now he's saying that many things, especially like, you know, in church, often like we just go to church. We say, you know, I just want to be, I'm just part of this ministry. I'm just there. The reality of that is if you are a child of God, everything that's happening in that ministry or that location, wherever you are, that should consume you. How is the children church ministry doing? How are we paying the bill? Why is there nobody today? Did such and such get fed? All those, every little nuance, every little details, he says those things were the things that consume him. Make sense? Those were things that keep him, no, he want to make sure that he is in line with the Father's purpose so that those things can come to pass. Because that was why he was sent. So him being sent was not just dying on the cross. He's saying day to day. Even Paul gave us a great example of that. He says he was doing all those things, shipwreck. You know, people, you know, taking care of the church. Yet even with all those things, he still have to position himself to do God's work. Those day-to-day things were consuming him. So the Father's calling us into a place where we don't just come to church, or we don't just call ourselves Christian, or we are children of God. That is stage one. That is the early stage in the relationship. You know, I just got to know him. I'm learning about my Father. So that's a good thing, you know, because you can't go to the next level until that level is being fulfilled. And the thing is, one thing I want to, a little, just a heads up, because often we can try to hurry or leave one stage to go to the next one because we want to be perceived or look a certain way. Well, such and such is anointed, or, hey, you know, I'm a weas, I'm a nenisco, I'm a mature son. But the thing is, the Father doesn't see it that way. That stage where you are right now, that's exactly where he is pleased with you as a nepios. Because that's the stage. You are a new son. You getting to know your Father. So there is nothing wrong with that. Make sense? Don't feel like, man, okay, I need to mature quickly. Don't try to mature just for the sake of maturing. The reality of it is when you go to the next level, that's exactly the time that you're supposed to be there. Amen. But that being said, the Father wants you to mature to a place of maturity where you now got to a place you can actually start partnering with him. You can start partnering. But he is fine with you growing. You being a nepios is part of one of the stage. right? A baby, you can push a baby from, you know, the moment, you know, from birth, and then say, okay, next week I need you to get to 30 immediately. We can't do that, right? Although, spiritually, we can expedite the process. You know, we can, but nevertheless, still enjoy the stages that you are in. Understand the stage that you are in. Be okay with the stages that you are in, because the Father has a measure of grace. That's why the word says there's a measure. So if he's saying there's a measure, so for you, if as a baby, he's giving you a measure of things that you can handle in that stage where you are right now. Because there are times you might be like, man, okay, I should have been a millionaire by now. That's a great desire. The Father want that because that's part of his kingdom. He says, I want that for you more than you even wanted for yourself. In fact, you didn't even know that it exists. I was doing that, created it, because I knew you would need that. But be fine in your nepio stage to be like, hey, I'm only getting $10 a month. Well, that's a bit low, but let's say $1,000. Let's say $5,000 a month. Is that good? Yeah, because in America, you can't live with $10 a month. You are below poverty. Because even, is it me? I feel like I'm a little hot. I know the anointing also, but I think I'm also hot as well. Okay, cool. But yeah, so it is fine to grow in your stage. It is fine. This is where that's where the Father wants you to be in that stage right now. But there's an expectation. He expects you to grow because there is work to be done. Jesus wasn't always 33. At one stage, he was a baby. Then he was 12. Then he was, we got a whole skip. Like, you know, we didn't know nothing. Then he come back and then he was 30. Right? So it's fine to grow. Growing is good. Amen? Growing is what the Father wants. That's part of the process. In fact, you cannot get to maturity unless you grow. Nobody just mature. It doesn't exist. And he had to demonstrate that so well. He said, you know, okay, I'm going to demonstrate. I come as a baby and then growing. So it's fine. I say that to say it's fine. Where you are right now, if you only can, whatever the Father is giving you, this is one of the secrets. I'm going to share this with you. You probably heard it before, but I'm going to bring it back again to your spirit. If whatever the Father is giving you right now, that's all you can handle. If he gives you more, he will literally destroy you. However, I'm going to make it personal. I think that I could handle more. Because, you know, I live in a society. I see great things. I see a lot of different things. I see people doing different things. And that's a good thing to have. You know, okay, I want to grow. Okay, that's a good thing. It's visual. I can see, okay, you know, in his timing, I'm going to get there. But nevertheless, don't try to rush yourself to a place that you're not there yet. You're a nepios. What does it look like? Me as a nephew is asking for a weas opportunity. See what I mean? And the thing is, I'm praying, I'm doing things, I'm actually even frustrating and upset. I get mad at myself and God and the angels, everybody, and my church leaders and my surrounding. In fact, sometimes I even blame families. Y'all did that. But the reality of it is that the Father is really keeping you away from yourself. Self-destruction. He's like, son, daughter, you don't even see a glimpse of what I see. If I give you that, I would destroy you. But the reality now, what we need to do is, it's always praying for, Father, give me the measure that I need for where I am right now. And on top of that, teach me how to get to the next level. Show me how to get to the next level in due time. In due time. The word always talks about due time. Don't try to rush things according to your time. Just in due time. Father, when is that time? Just let it be done. You know, and I like to share this. When I met my wife in March. I met my wife in March 2020. But I actually met her. I had a prayer in February. I had a simple prayer in February. I believe either January or February. I promised you. I guarantee you. I'm not that clever, so I'm telling you exactly what it is. I promised you. I said, I don't even know how that came about. Because normally I don't pray for spouses. That wasn't necessarily me in the sense of like, you know, because I've always like trying to hustle, trying to do different things. You know, I'm just trying to get my money up. That was me. That shit. So when I got to a place, for whatever reason, I think I was at, I can't remember if I was at the apostle's house or at my parents' house. I was somewhere in just something. And I think that's why the word says that he will give you the desire. He gave you those desires. Because I know that knowing me, just the type of person that I am, I'm just really about my hustling. Do I need someone? Absolutely. But sometimes we can put ourselves in such a box. We think this is what we need. But the reality of it is that's really not what we need. Because sometimes we're like, man, okay, I'm going to get a million and then I'm going to get married. Like we create a whole scenario. We say, God, okay, this is what I want you to do for me. This is my plan. Okay, can we work with that? Let's partner with that. But that's not how it works. He will give you those desires and he will bring them to pass according to his timing in due time when he see fit in your life, whatever that may look like. However, in the meantime, I can start praying and preparing myself for what I'm believing for it. That's the faith aspect. So now, when I met my wife, in January, February, I literally had a simple prayer. I guarantee you, I don't even know where the prayer came from. But I just knew that I'm like, man, you know what? Father, you know what? I could use somebody. I said, I think I could use someone. I really, literally, that was the prayer. It was not a complicated prayer. I didn't even know how to pray well until I came here. You know, no, seriously, I didn't, you know, I knew what I knew, but I didn't know how, you know, I didn't know how to, you know, did I know, probably just a little bit of fast, but I probably was fasting wrong. So I didn't know the five stages of sonship. I didn't know like four steps of practicing righteousness, all of that. I didn't have none of that. But literally in the purest part of my heart, Father, I said, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready. But I think I could use someone. And if you see if you see fit, that was the prayer. Do you know I did not fast? I did not have like, you know, hours of prayer. And again, everybody, scenarios are different. But I think because I was such in a place of unintentionally, I was preparing, not even knowing I was preparing. Oh, okay. Thank you. But just to go to that, now, when that happened, I said, you know what? Let me see. Okay, I got it. the next thing I said, you know what? Okay, I see what's happening. In March, there we go. That was my thought. In March, I literally, she came about. Doing church service, she just came about, and that was the beginning of the story. And we, you know, going to 6 years, 6 years now, amen? So, thank you, Lincoln. So now, but I say all that to say, when we surrender our plans and our heart, our will to the Father, he's definitely going to bring it back. He's definitely going to align it with his ultimate purpose. So now, let me work with the time. So now, we, to strengthening the bond, to strengthening the relationship, everybody has, Apostle gave five, and Pastor KP gave five, and we each going to give you five, and then next week, Apostle is also going to give you another five to close out with those 20 steps and those 20 principles, those 20 ways you can use to actually strengthening the relationship that you are building with your Heavenly Father. Amen? Because that's important. Now, the first steps, the first key that I wanted to share with you today, or the first posture, I call it posture. I truly believe it's more so posturing yourself in a position so that He can use you to do the things for His kingdom. Amen? Because ultimately, remember that His house, this is His household. And He wants us to be consumed by doing the things of His house. Every aspect of your life, the Father just wants you to be consumed. When you wake up in the morning, anything and everything that, before you do anything else, and it happens so many times. We say we're going to do it, you know, sometimes I'm victim of it. Then the next day, you know, we just kind of, we missed a step. We missed the mark. So, but I wanted to actually give you those five points because it will help you position yourself so that you can be ready to be used for your house, your Father's house. To manage, because ultimately He's trying to call us to a place of partnership. That's what He wants. From baby steps to partnership. Amen? So, but in order to get to that step, we have to first build the relationship. Amen? We have to build to get to that place. So the first step is seek the Father's business first. Seek the Father's business first. Make the Father's interest your primary focus, like Jesus in the temple. When we say seek the Father's business first, we're really talking about just, again, allow yourself to be consumed by it. The word seek is to look for, to search diligently, to pursue with intention, to desire strongly. So when you say, I'm seeking my Father, so this is what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm pursuing with intention. And I'm making that desire such a strong desire. Like, it's not just a passive thing. I'm not just passively doing things, but I make that desire. I spent so much time in the Father's presence where now His desire consumed me. Pursuing something with intention means that the value you want to find, you can obtain it. So you're literally trying to pursue something so that it can add a value into your life. Now, John 2 verse 17 says that His disciple remember that it was written, when He says that His zeal for your house consume him. It was, and I bring this verse back again, is because that was just to kind of show you how the disciples were like, hey, you know what? Okay, we remember when He said that. Sometimes, like, people will see your life and like, okay, wow, okay. The Father's doing something in His life. The Father's working in your life. The first, when your life can start being a testimony to other people's life, you know that indeed you are in position of consuming. You are being consumed. Amen? Now, Luke 2 verse 49 says, Jesus says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Amen? He says, did you not know? I thought I mentioned that already. That's what He told His parents. He says, did you not know that my goal, everything that I am about, was to do His will? Because He was always demonstrating that, hey, I'm not after nothing else. I'm not after anything else. I'm only after my Father's will. My Father's business. my father's household. Amen. And also another scripture says that Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the rest? Seek first the kingdom of God. He's telling us. He says he literally, in order for the reason why he was consumed, the reason why the Father could use him is because he made the Father's business the priority, the first thing in his life. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. When we say the kingdom, we pretty much saying our Father's realm. Our Father's, everything that the Father has, that's his kingdom. To understand the spirit realm, to understand how the Father does things, seek first that. Not second, but seek first to do it his way. And then everything else is going to do it. So I see now why Jesus didn't necessarily worry about, he says, the birds, right? They have a home. But the Son of Man, I don't have a home. Because he knew that if I seek my Father's business first, if I seek to do his will, I guarantee you, he just knew that was the relationship that he says, I guarantee you that everything else will be taken care of. I do not have to worry about my own situation. Because if you're taking care of your Father's business, don't you think he's going to take care of your own? And I know that it is a transition from one mindset to another. You have to literally come out of yourself. Come out of your reality. Come out of the matrix. And start thinking, okay, I'm just going to take spiritual steps. Even when it don't look like, this is the valley. I'm literally taking step in a valley. Yeah, he's going to take care of it. You got to say it so much eventually where it actually, your soul absorb it. You got to say it and believe it so much that after a while, it just makes sense to you. Your soul come in agreement with that. Amen? So he says, when you seek the Father's kingdom first, everything else will be added. So the word says that Abba called believers, call his children to make his kingdom the highest priority. I know most of the time, in the world, there's so many things that's been presented at us, and those things can remove us from the real focus, from focusing on him. But the Father says, I did not call you, I did not create you so you can prioritize everything else and I become third, not even second. He says, that's not why I created it. I didn't create you for that. That's why Jesus keeps demonstrating. He says, no, I don't have a will. My meat and drink is to do his will. I mean, I don't have an agenda. And that takes a level of maturity. That takes a level of surrender. It takes you in a place of surrender where you can really say, you know what? This doesn't make sense. I don't even know. Let's just talking it from just bare basic. I don't even know how I'm going to pay my rent next month. But Father, you know what? I'm trusting in you that if you don't take care of it, that means it is what it is. Because that's your Father. He should be taking care of that. He says that I will supply all your what? But if he can say, you know what, son, I'm just checking your faith. But he doesn't say that verbally. You didn't hear that. But you have to come in agreement with the word and like, oh, okay. He says he will never leave me, nor forsaken me. So if he didn't leave me, so surely he can help me pay that rent. Surely that sickness, that disease, whatever it may be, surely that situation that I'm dealing with, it's going to come to pass. I don't have to know. I don't have to know. I have to literally come out of myself and say, self, you got to submit to the word. Self, you know what? You're not going to drag me along wherever you want, just drag by your emotion up and down. No. I'm just going to stand my ground. I'm just going to stand my ground. And you know what? You know what? There are times, there are seasons, the Father is testing to see, even if I don't show up, I will show up. He's always going to show up. I can guarantee you that. Even in the time when you thought that he should show up, even if I don't show up in that time, what are you going to do? Because that's the step that we don't know. Say that you're supposed to pray for 10 days. You're just praying by faith. Father, you know, please do this. Please do this. Please do this. Father, I know you can do it. Father, you know, you have the ability to do it. Of course, Father, you're declaring the, you know, scriptures. You're declaring his word. Father, you says that, you know, all my needs shall be supplied. I'm a child of God. You know what? Father, you will enlarge my territory. All of that. Day one, you're doing it. Nothing moves. Day two, nothing moves. Day three, nothing moves. But he already has in his mind a set time. He said, I'm going to do it in day 10. But you don't know that. You don't know that. You're just praying. Building prayers in the, you know, clouds of prayer. You're just building it in the room of this. You're just building it up. Father, it's day 4. And the devil is talking. Yeah. When has he ever showed up? Yeah. How did that work the last time? Yeah. You think you're special? Oh, yeah. Actually, that week he might make that company call you more than ever. The eviction notice is showing up on your doorstep. Father, I'm just believing. Father, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to come out of it this time, but I'm just believing that you're going to, now you're on day 7. Father, I don't know if I'm going to make it out this time. Father, you said, and the Father, he actually responded, I said, I know what I said, but we don't hear that. I know what I said. So he responded to you, but you just didn't hear it because we're just not that in tune. You know, I mean, we weren't born in heaven, so there are times we don't hear it. Unless the prophet give a word unless he give us a dream. Son, just hold tight, it's coming. Even after that, you're still like, Father, it's day 9. But the thing is, we're just praying. We don't know that it's going to happen in day 10. We're just believing and we're just staying in faith. Sometimes we're like, Father, you know, why is it always me? So now we start the blaming. That's day 9. Why is it always my family? Why did I have to born in this family? Why is this? Because at first, in the beginning, we start praying faith. And then now it's okay. Why is this always got to be me? That's day 9, but not knowing what day 10 is coming. We don't see that. Because that's the time set. Because you know what he was doing? What was he doing? He was building your faith. He was building your confidence. He was building your maturity. He was preparing your heart. He was building you up to we us level. Because we us, you can't just, you know, as a mature son, not, you know, you just have to know. I just know it's going to happen. I'm not going to move. It's just going to happen. But Nepios or Padion or even Technon, it's like, man, okay, why is that? Can somebody pray for me? Can we get some support in here? I mean, that church, I feel like that church, there's not enough glory running in this ministry. There's not even prosperity falling out of place. I mean, I need to go to a different ministry. I need a breakthrough ministry. And the thing is, the reality of that is the enemy would literally send you a video that, you know, so you'll see a YouTube that very week. A pastor was doing something, breakthrough, supernatural, healing, casting out devils. He said, yeah, that's where I need to be. That's where I need to be. But the Father's like, no. That's not part of your training. That has nothing to do with your training. I'm not training you to just be just quick answer. No, he's building you up to endure persecution. Endure trials. Because how are you going to teach somebody else? How are you going to have a witness? Jesus says in John 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish his work. He's pretty much saying that that word means pretty much nourishment. The word food, nourishment, my nourishment. What fill me? What fills my hunger? When I'm hungry, just knowing, just thinking about, okay, I'm about to do this for my dad. That fills the hunger. I'm no longer hungry. That is a different sight. Amen? That is definitely a different perspective. Just by waking up and saying, you know what? Man, okay, I'm about to fast for 30 days. And you know what? Demons are just going to fall. You know, people are going to get healed in the community. Just demonic forces going to flee from that, you know, from that county. That just by doing that, that fulfills every hunger you had. That is a different perspective. You got to literally shift your mind, because now it's like, oh, wow, okay. Me doing that, the Father's going to get that glory. The kingdom's going to be travailing. Oh, man, okay, this is awesome. Amen? Last point I want to bring with this is, in the household economy, one thing I want you to remember is that everything is his asset. When we say that, you know what, when we're talking about the household, we're talking about the things that belongs in the house. Are we talking about the Father's kingdom? Everything in the Father's kingdom belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. We just have access. Amen? We just have access to everything that belongs to him. So that is why he's training us, so that we can manage things at the standard that he wants us to manage it. Because if you're going to manage somebody else's stuff, as a true stewardship, you have to do it according to that person's standard. Amen? So that is where our second point comes about. It says, practice stewardship of resource. Amen? Practice stewardship of resource. That's the second point that I want to bring out to you. The Father is trying to build us and bring us to a place where we're not only just children, but we can actually practice. We will have practice in managing his things. We can build the stamina. We have the ability to actually manage the things that belongs to him. And some of those things are managing your time. When the Father's calling you, if the Father's calling you to a place of practicing, of stewarding, he's asking you to do all of those things. To manage your time. To manage your asset. To manage your talent. To manage the gift that he has given you. Stewardship is not just managing one aspect or just money. No. He wants you to manage everything that he has given you, because that is his. He gave it to you. That came from him. Every good gift, everything that you have, the Father gave you that. So he doesn't want you to waste it. Do you know how many talents often got wasted? Do you know how many talents, do you know how many ideas? Because the thing is, a lot of time we're praying for things and we never actually pray to steward it properly. So if the Father gave you just $1 million dreams, what are you going to do with that? That would be a waste of asset, a waste of talent. So he doesn't want us to just pray for things. First and foremost, we need to learn how to steward it. Because when you can steward even the little bit of things, as you know, one of the things we have been talking about during those classes, the Father only rewards your faithfulness. And a lot of time, that's the part that we missed out on. Because we want other big things, but the very thing that we have, the car that you have right now, the Father wants you to steward it properly. He wants you to clean it. He wants you to use it for his thing, because that's his car. That belongs to the kingdom. When you work for a company, if you drive a Georgia Power car, that's not your car. Right? You see the guys that be driving Georgia Power car? Or if you work for a company, say that you work for BMW, they give you the ability to take the car home. That's still not your car. That's the company's car. So because it's a company car, so there is an expectation. No, you need to make sure you take care of it. you don't destroy a car. And before you can actually drive that car, there's a qualification that comes with that. You need to have a driver license. You need to not have any eviction. You need to not have crimes in your, you know, because before the company will give you that, yeah, you have to meet a certain standard. Amen. So it's the same as Abba's children. We don't just use his stuff and then waste it. Because that's a lack of stewardship. Amen. That's a lack of stewardship. Why would he give you stuff just for you to waste? When he could have gave it to somebody else that would actually maintain it, the 5 talents. Why would I do that? And then, I'm not going to say we have the audacity, but then we go back and say, Father, you know what? I want more. Father, can you give me more? But then he's looking at you, he's like, son, what are you talking about? You can't even handle the little thing that I give you right now. And the thing is, in your perspective, your lens, your natural perspective, you're looking at it as like, oh man, okay, I'm doing good. That's your standard of good. Because most of the time, a good is not his standard, it's your standard. So if I'm managing, okay, I come to church. First of all, you came late. Second, you don't even participate. Well, I'm coming to church. I'm a child of God. You know, I have authority. You know, I have all these things. No. You're not even maintaining that ability that he's given you. Just the fact that, you know, you are a child of God, you're not even doing that properly. Well, Father, I'm using the car for the church that, you know, I pray for a car for the church, you know, and I've been going to church. But we're not doing that. Father, you know what? You gave me a talent, but I'm not using it. So the reality now, he's like, no, I can't give you more. It doesn't matter how much fast you do. It doesn't matter how much praying you do. It just won't, that door just won't open, because we're talking about practice stewardship of resource. We have to do it. We literally, the Father is looking at how you're managing things so that he can actually release more and trust you with more. The word practice is to repeatedly, you know, to do something repeatedly. Repetitive. To make it a lifestyle. So it's not a one time, it's not, you know, here and there. It's when you're doing something consistently. Praying. If you're trying to, you know, the Father is asking you in this season, I need you to steward your prayer life. Amen. If he's asking you to steward your prayer life, we don't do that once every week. Because that's not what? That's not stewarding. If I'm praying just once every week, or once I heard somebody say, oh man, you need to pray, then I got convicted, you know. And then you're like, okay, I need to pray. No, we can't do that. The Father is calling you to a place, okay, son, daughter, I need you to steward your prayer life. Because your prayer life is his. Make sense? That is part of, it's his house. Cultivating that's part of the house. It's all inclusive. All of it is in there. So he's calling us to a place of stewardship. The word stewardship means household manager. Someone who is a manager that is managing his father's stuff. And not only managing it, but manage it to do what? To add value. So if you're not adding value into it, you're not managing it properly. Amen? You have to be able to add value to what the Father is giving you in order for it to be considered as properly steward. The Bible says in the 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says, now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be what? Faithful. That's what Paul says. A person who is put in charge as a manager, you have to be faithful. To be faithful means you have to be trustworthy. To be faithful means you have to be reliable. To be faithful means you have to be loyal. To be faithful means you have to be dependable. So for the Father to put you in charge of his house, he wants you to work on that. Son, I need you to be more dependable. Son, I need you to be more loyal. Son, I need you to be more trustworthy. Can I trust in you? Amen. If I put you in charge of this, will you show up? Can I trust in you to be faithful for a whole month? If I say, son, I need you to pray every morning, wake up at 1 hour, just pray for 1 hour. Can I trust in you that you will be able to fulfill that task? Amen. Can I trust that you will fulfill that? Because out of that, when you leave that, when you come out of that, there are things that I'm going to release in your life for your next assignment. There are things that there are people that are waiting on you. And in order for me to release that level of measure, in order for me to release a new measure in your life, I need you to be faithful just for that month. But you don't even know that. He said it, you didn't hear it, and you don't know that. But you got the first part, the instruction. Either you got it through a dream, either somebody gave you a prophetic word, or you just had this pressing in your spirit, son, I need you to be faithful for me for 1 month without no additional instruction. Because he gave us daily bread. Sometimes he doesn't give us instruction for the whole month, just one day. So just today, I need you to pray for 30 days. So, I got a few things that I need to do. That's fine. You can delay on that. But you delay on what I was trying to do. I already had a set time by the month of October. When you finish this will go. Was this what you just did? That prayer, that act of obedience was going to catapult you to something that I'm trying to do in your life in October. But you just told me, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm probably going to have to delay on that for what month are we in right now? We're in June. You know what? I'll just do it in September. But the reality is that, no, he needs that gap in between. So you need to do it right now so that by October, what I'm trying to activate can take place. If you do it in September, now I'm going to have to push it from October to other time down the road. So that I can, because it's not just a matter of when you do it, it's when I say to do it. Because I know all the in between. Because sometimes like there are things that when I released it, there are other things that I'm trying to do. After that 30 days, there are other instructions that I'm going to give you. It may not be prayer, but there's some other instruction. But you move in your time. And I'm trying to take you to be a steward of my house. I'm trying to make you lead my household. I'm trying to bring you in front of people. Amen? So I need you to be, to listen to when I said, son, I need you to do that. And if you're not sure and say, Father, you know what? How do I do it? Because sometimes that can delay us. Because a lot of time we would receive a word or a word of instruction and we would just, we just start moving. Or because we didn't hear the rest, we're like, oh, well, maybe he's just not talking right now. No. He gave you that word because he actually trying to bring you to a place of prayer. Intimacy. That was an invitation. So now when you go into your secret place, just by that word of instruction that you receive, that would develop that would release the remaining conversation. Amen? But we didn't do that. We just heard, and then we didn't hear the rest, and then you say, I'm just going to take a pause on that. But now it delayed us. And then now we start being frustrated. Father, you know why things are not moving into my life? You know, Father, you gave me a word in June. And then you said something was going to happen in October. I don't see anything. You didn't follow through with the instruction. The word remained. Amen? The word remained. But I'm just going to have to push it back because it has to happen according to I set it up. So faithfulness is important as Abba's children in order to strengthening our relationship. We have to be able to trust in him because that's part of us stewarding the resource that he's given us. Luke 16, verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with what? With much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with what? With much. Often we'll read scriptures like that. We'll read a word like that. We're like, oh. We can easily disregard it. Or sometimes it doesn't even resonate with us. Or sometimes it doesn't even connect. Do you know that one of the reasons why I believe the Father used grace a lot towards us is because he knows that we weren't born in heaven. We are learning, we are growing. So there's a lot of time, there are things that, to be honest with you, especially in the body of Christ, there are things that could have happened. Like, you know, sometimes we'll say, well, you know what, I don't see so much, you know, manifestation or power or things are not moving. The reality is that we are not really a people that actually really submit to the word or really surrender to the word. Do you know people that are in the occult? It's that or nothing else. There is no maybe or, and it's that or nothing else. And it's a horrible comparison because we shouldn't be compared with them. But the reality, I'm sure I'm trying to show you the level of surrenderness. The fathers, their father spoke, they just do. Because you know why? Most of the time they know that there's a consequence that comes with it that is really, 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 you know, scary. I mean, that was really, really, really dangerous. So most of the time they're like, yeah. So they do things out of fear. You see what I mean? But the Father doesn't want us to operate out of fear. He wants us to operate out of obedience. If I say do this, I promise you, there is a reward that comes with that. So, and if you don't, now things don't move accordingly. And then the devil is going to start speaking into your ears. You're like, God never show up for you. Yada, 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 yada. No, it's not. No. It's simply a lack of, it was simply just disobedience. We're not moving. We're not doing what the word tells us. So because of that, we see the repercussion of that. And we feel like the Father is not working in our behalf. But it's really us not submitting to the word. Amen. But what it is that's what grace is for. That's what grace is for. Amen. Now, the next print is intercede for the brethren. Intercede for the brethren. Strengthening the bond by caring for your sibling is Christ-like. When you care for one another, this is what the Father wants. Because why? Because we are all God's children. The Father is not just concerning about you and then, okay, whatever you got going on, and then the other person don't have to worry about that. Like, you just in a place of isolation and then the enemy's really tormenting your mind, or you just hide yourself, or when things are going well in your life, it's just all about you. No. The Father wants us to get to a place where we actually care about one another. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, it says, first of all, then I urge that supplication, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for what? For all men. That's an instruction for the body. Why? Because we are holy priesthood. Until we pray, if we don't pray, nothing moves on earth. If we don't pray, our community will be consumed by darkness. If we don't pray, our family will be tormented by demons. If we don't pray, our household will be tormented by demons and chaos. So it is important. Prayer is probably the highest level. I call it currency. Prayer is the only thing that can buy you out of some of the worst situation in your life. The craziest attack, conversations or accusation against the body of Christ against you. That's why the Bible says that, you know what, to pray continuously. Why? Because the devil continuously is coming towards him like, hey, you see what she did? But that's why you should never stop praying, because he's bringing accusation, you're tearing it down. He's bringing accusation, you're tearing it down in your prayer. He's bringing accusation, you're tearing it down. So it's important to pray for one another. Because there are times people are weak. There is a season where they're going through things. So it's not, this is a household. This is a family matter. Was that a movie? A TV, something? Family Matter, something like that? This is a family matter. So it's not just about, okay, I'm doing good, I'm good. No, like the Father wants us to intercede for one another. And James 5:16 says, therefore confess your what? Your sin to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So a lot of time when you see sickness in the body, you know why? People are not praying. In fact, you probably use that to just make that a gossip channel. Oh, did you see? Did you hear? No. The Father wants you to pray. Say pray. The Father wants you to pray. No, because the Father's trying to, this is a household matter. This is not an individual thing. So the lens is off, so that's why we don't see it. So put it in perspective of your closest relative, your children, your mom, your dad. That's how the body of Christ is, actually even more so. So a lot of time, the reason why we don't intercede, we don't pray for certain things as such, because we feel like, yeah, that's them. I can't even stand them, actually. Yeah, these people. Them folks, right? Then the Father says, pray, because there's a lot of things that if we pray as a body, it should not happen in the body of Christ. He says that the prayer of the righteous person has great, what? Power. As it is working. When you pray, you may not think that it's doing things, but it's doing wonders in the realm of the spirit. And the deception is that the enemy think you it's not doing anything. So you don't feel like, yeah, I need to pray. Yeah, I need to sleep, actually. No, the Father says pray. Prayer strengthen and heal the body of Christ. God works powerfully through righteous intercession. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear what? One another burdens. How many of you guys are doing that in your prayer closet? Do you carry somebody else's burden? Like when you go pray, like, you know what, Father, you know what, you literally start crying for that person in your intercession as you're praying. Father, you know what, Father, do it for them. Hallelujah. You're praying as if they were your children on a sick bed. You're praying as if, you know, there is nobody else. Because we're interceding for the brother. And when we can do that, the Father can entrust us with his kingdom. With a certain position, with authority, with a certain things. Because he knows that this is not you. You're not going to be selfish. It's a kingdom matter. You understand the assignment. This is not about you. It's never been about us. Jesus made it clear. This has nothing to do with me. I'm only doing my Father's will. He gave his life because, yeah, this is not about me. The Father sent me to do an assignment, so be it. Amen? Believers or sons and daughters are called to support one another emotionally, spiritually, and practically. Most of the time, we don't pray for people. We don't care about them. If we don't see them, we don't even call them. If they sick, nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows nothing. Like, if you call, hey, have you seen your brother? Yeah, I don't know. Well, the first thing you'll say, well, I haven't seen sister such and such for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks? And you didn't feel like it was necessary for you as one that is in the body, one body, for you to make a call. But then you will say, Father, you know what? You know, open doors so I can do this, so I can take your ministry international, different places. No. You can even do it locally. You can even do it in just that small. We're not even talking about local, because local is the whole state. You can even do it in your inner circle. We only have about how many people here? You can't even do it. And I'm not saying that to bring you down, but I'm telling you, this is what the Father is requiring of you. this is what he's requiring. No, this is my house. And you are part of my house. And this is how we do things in the house. The house has a rule. Amen? So, no, like we are not, this is not, we, this longer the days we just go to church and just do things, you know, just showing up and just show off. No. You literally, sometimes you bring too much attention to yourself. That's how sometimes we get attacked. You know, just stay humble. Pray for people. Pray. When you're praying, you're covering yourself. As you're praying, because you know what? If we say we're doing like Jesus do, no, I'm just doing what my father said. He says, pray for the house. Amen? Intercede for one another. Now, John 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love. Did you hear that? A new what? I give you. That it's not Old Testament. This is the New Testament. Well, that was the old days. No. This is John 13. 4 books after. 13 chapters later. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just what? Just as I have what? You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my what? If you love one another. Okay, so stop right here. Okay. People will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. There we go. So I say that to say, yeah, we can't do ministry. We can't say we're building Abba's house. Remember, I told you, when we talk about the Father's house, we're talking about everything included in the house. Anything that he signed up, anything that he created, that is his house. Amen? He put the president in power. That is part of the house. Leadership in power, that is part of the house. Children, that is part of the house. Your gift, everything that you are, that's part of the house. It's not, okay, I got my personal stuff going on, but let me handle my money. And then, no, your money is part of his house. Amen? Everything that you have, that's part of the house. So now when he says that to do it, no, we just got to do it. Because that's how we show that, yes, Father, I am allowing, my zeal for your house is consuming me. That's a perfect demonstration of that. Me caring about every little bit of details of yours, that's zeal, that is your fire. That is the thing, your zeal, your fire, your presence, my desire to do your thing is consuming me. I just can't stop doing. I just got to help somebody just because. Why you got to help people so much? I'm a child of God. His fire is within me. When the word says set you on fire, that's what fire is. Fire burn, fire activate, fire pursue. Like you just zeal, like that's part of the fire. Amen? And the fourth point is that we offer a sacrifice of praise. Bring an offering of worship, even when it costs you something. Whenever we hear the word sacrifice, it means it's going to cost you something. The Father's not going to call you to walk into a territory for you to not have to make a sacrifice. It doesn't exist. You're always going to have to make a sacrifice. Prayer, time, consecration. You have to, there are some things, specific things he's going to ask you, and that will determine for you whether or not he can use you or not. Don't go to that place. Everybody else can go. For whatever reason, you just can't. Well, but there's no big deal. It's just the park. I mean, it's just right down the street. There's no big deal. I'm not going to do anything. Don't go. That's it. And that will determine whether or not he can use you or not. Most of the time, it's the simplest thing. It's the simplest thing. Don't talk to these people. That friend of yours, yeah, maybe when you were in the world, you can talk to them. But, I mean, we're not talking about anything bad. We're just cool people. I mean, we just, you know, we just hang out. I mean, that was my boy. He got me, you know, like he supported me. I mean, sometimes I needed money, you know, rent money. He helped me. No, but in this season, I said no. Well, that's not a big deal. I mean, they're not the devil. I said no. And that is it. That will determine whether or not you are, he can qualify you. You can be used. Can I trust you? And it's simple. Yeah, I just said no. If you can trust me with that, I can trust you with greater things. Amen? It demonstrates that the Father is worth more than you, than your comfort. Sacrifice demonstrates that the Father is more important than your comfort. Whatever that thing that you just got to do, that's your comfort. Whether or not you acknowledge it as such, the Father says, no, I don't want you to do it. Well, Father, I'm not sure yet. I didn't really hear you. Well, I'm saying it again. Don't do it. Well, can I do a little bit? When I was leaving my old church, I promise you, the Father was, I was in this place. I was debating with him. I'm like, well, can I go in this morning service and then the afternoon service I can come back? He says, no. Literally. Like, he's like, but that's not what I said. Because I'm literally, he told me, I want you to leave that place and don't ever come back. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm working with the youth. I mean, those youth need somebody to teach them. I mean, that is not holy. That is not godly. This has to be the devil. Because those are God's children. Why would I just leave the place and don't do Bible studies anymore? Who's going to do that? He says, that's not your business. Those are my children. And what I told you is just move. And that is, so now I'm like, okay, well, do you want me to go like halfway? Well, can I just kind of teach them and then, you know, and then come to service? Or can I just do the service like on, you know, on YouTube? Well, not YouTube, on Zoom. And then, you know, I'm just until they find somebody else. That's me debating. And I'm just trying to make it make sense to. He's like, well, I said what I said the last time and I haven't pivoted, you know. And the thing is, sometimes we think the Father can articulate himself well. If this is what he wants you to do, he can break it down. Son, I need you to go over there and I need you to go to this new ministry. And then every Tuesday, I need you to do Bible study. And then every Wednesday, I need you to do this. And then on Sunday, I need you to go back to our service. He can say that. He can say that. But we want to create scenarios for him. We want to create something. And a lot of times, you know what it is really trying to please people. We're just trying to please people. Somewhere in there, I promised you, the underline, underbelly, somewhere under, there's a little pleasing. We're just trying to please somebody. And even if we give our mind, even if we give ourselves a different scenario why we are doing this, because I gave myself plenty. But the belly under there, somewhere on there, right under that, is like, it's a little pleasing. Yeah, you're just trying to please. You're trying to keep your reputation. You're trying to look good. You're trying, you know, to be a friendly person at all time. You want people to always talk good about you. And the Bible says, like, hey, be careful. Be careful. When men is always talking good about you. But some way, somehow, you just, yeah, I just want, you know, well, I don't want to create friction, you know. But he said, no, that's not what I said. And I can articulate myself very, very well. I can give you a dream to blow your mind. You wouldn't even know. So if that's what I want, I will tell you exactly what I want you to do. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. That's how we offer a sacrifice. Always give the Father praise. Always entering into that place. When we do that, it's a true worship. It is not depending on circumstance. It is a lifestyle of honoring God continually. That's what it is. I will bless the Lord at all time. It's a lifetime. I just want to continually praise Him, worship Him, become more like Him, conforming into Him. Apostle said it earlier, Psalm 100 verse 4, entering into His what? Gate with thanksgiving and His court with praises. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. That's how we bring offering of praise into our Father. And Romans 12 verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brother, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as what? As a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your what? Worship is more than singing. In fact, we know that worshiping is wanting the Father to be all in us. That's what we've learned. Traditionally, we used to say, you know, we're just giving God praise and lifting Him up. No, we've learned, no. We are giving Him, we give Him permission to be all that He is in us. Because ultimately, He created us. He knows what we need. He knows us more than we would ever know ourselves. He knows the wound. He knows the past, the hurts. He knows the people that did us wrong. He knows the tears that we cry. He knows the healing that needs to take place. He knows the brokenness. So we're giving Him permission to do that. So we are to offer Him a sacrifice of praise. And we, the last thing I want to bring with this is, on Samuel, 2 Samuel, Samuel 24, verse 24, it says, but the king said to Arana, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offering to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen of the for the 50 shekels in silvers. This was pretty much an act of not giving the Father just all leftover. You don't ever want to give the Father the last bit of what you have. With your money, with your time, with your energy. Amen? We don't just, like when we come here on Sunday, or in anything that the Father called you to do, show up with zeal, show up with strength, show up with all your energy. I would rather show up anywhere else on my last strength, but I cannot show up in His presence, just already about to pass out, falling asleep, because we're dishonoring. We're not presenting a sacrifice that is precious. Amen? If I'm about to go pray, then I need to make sure that, okay, I wake up, you know, I need to do what I need to do. I wash my face and I start praying. I enter into the secret place. If I need to rest, then I rest. That's the type of person that I am. If I need to rest, then I just rest. If I'm going to be like, I really don't pray that day. If, you know, if I move around, I'm moving around, I put heavy music, all that kind of stuff. And if it's not still not kicking in, okay, maybe I just need to rest. And then when I'm fully rested and I get up and then I go pray. Amen. So with church, if you're going to be serving in His house or in your calling, in your assignment, show up with your most excellent. Show up ready. Show up with strength. Show up with joy. Amen. Show up with like, yes, okay, we're about to do this. Show up like, no, this is what I want to do. This is what I was created for. Amen. And the last point is this. Live in the Father's house. Live in the Father's what? And we're pretty much talking about the house of faith, the church, the community. Do not isolate. A son find his strength in context within the community of the household. This is where your strength comes when you're in the Father's presence. When you come to church, you hear a word of encouragement. Brothers and sisters, when we are really doing it the right way, If somebody's tired that day, hey, sister, let me give you a hug. How are you doing today? And you know what? Let's pray in that moment. If I need to pray with you in that moment, let me strengthen you. Because this is what the house is for. That's why Jesus, the Bible says, or Paul says in Hebrews 10, verse 20, 24, do not forsake our meeting together as believers for worship and instructions. Because that's what, when we meet together, that's what it does. As is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. When we meet together, that's an opportunity to actually encourage one another. We push one another. No, brother, hey, man, you know, I'm going through this. No, this is my time to actually encourage you. That's what the house is for. That's what fellowship is for. We don't just come to church just so we can be a church, just a check mark. No, 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 no. This is way bigger than that. This is so much more than that. This is kingdom, you know, affair. Now, this is the Father's house. I mean, he's trying to build a culture. He's trying to train us here so that we can take over the world. So this is not a matter of like when we come, you can barely stand that person next to you. No, 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 no. We're going to settle this matter right now. We need to pray because we're building, we're cultivating a culture. We're cultivating peace. We're cultivating what? Love. We're cultivating what? Unity. We're cultivating all of that. When I see my sister, it's almost like, man, I've been waiting for you this whole week. I've been waiting to see you. It's exciting to see you. In fact, but if you actually do your part, you probably wouldn't even have to do that because you've already been calling them the whole week. Amen? So, we are to live in the Father's house. He wants us to not just come to church because, yes, that's where you get your instruction. That's where you're being fed. That's how you receive, you know, your faith grows. But also, this is where you cultivate the relationship. This is how we build up. See what I mean? This is how the body built up. And most of the time, we're praying. There's a lot of things. It's interesting. There's a lot of things a lot of time we're praying for, we're believing for. We have a concept of what it should look like. And the Father's asking us the bare minimum. Love your sister. Tolerate them. Bear with them. But, you know, sometimes we're actually waiting for, like, angels to fall in the room, but that's not even if we're trying to get angels to fall in this room, we don't need to do all that can happen once the unity take place, once the love, once the pureness take place in one another. That happen, I mean, that's just second. That will happen by default. Amen. The Bible says that they devoted, in Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They come to hear the word. They do fellowship. They're eating together. So we thank you, ladies, for the food that's out there. And prayer. Because this is how you build a culture. This is how you build a house. A lot of ways that we think, the things that we think that we need to do, that's like far-fetched, all that extra stuff. No, no, no. Just build that culture. I can't wait to see my brother and my sister when I come to Sunday. And I'm like, hey, I'm giving you a true hug, not a fake hug. And if it's a fake hug, hey, sister, you know what? Something, you did something to me recently. I didn't like it. We settle it and let's go a real hug. Amen. Because we're building a house. Because there is no discrimination. There is no divisiveness in the house. In the Father's house. It's what? Unity. It's all unity. The Father has a way he wants his church to operate. Not how you think it should operate. He wanted to operate a certain way. Unity. Love. Joy. Peace. Oneness. Amen. Prayer, gathering, amen? This is the culture we're building as a body. And now, put this in perspective. If we can't, I'm not talking about this house, because we are a house of love. If we can't get it done in just a small group, what do you mean you're going to take over the world? What do you mean you're going to take over a nation? The Bible talks about not one spirit. The spirit, they're not, you know, the kingdom of darkness is not divided. You know they're not divided? I grew up in an interesting culture, and we're about to be finished. I grew up in Haiti. I came here when I was 13. I often, you know, thank God I grew up in a place, my dad was a preacher, so he's a man of the word, so he's been preaching for years. Often we will, but I've seen it where in that world, people that practice the occult, sometimes they will go from one person to do a witchcraft on another person. And I didn't understand that, you know, at the time as a kid. But when I, you know, as I mature and I understand the word, I'm like, actually, do you know what they really think they did? Really did not happen, because demonic doesn't work towards against demonic. It's very, very clever way. It may appear that way, but it's not really what took place, because the kingdom of darkness doesn't divide it. Satan cannot bound another person with Satan, because you went and do that. It operates in a sense where it's really a deception. It deceives you to think that this is what's happening, but darkness doesn't go against darkness. Sometimes the ranks of darkness probably hovering around a person, you know, because you have different level, you know, ranks of darkness. But when it comes to the ultimate part of darkness against darkness, it really doesn't operate. It's not biblical, but it's a deception. It's more so also just levels of that. So a person might be dealing with a small demon. So another bigger demon goes, like if a person operates in that realm, they go and they sent another demon. So that small demon has to leave. Now a bigger take that place. Did that make sense? So it's almost like ranks. So if you might have, if you call the police, say that you had a police at your house because you did something, the police might show up. Now, if it's a really true crime, they might call the police and say, okay, I need you to leave. And now they sent maybe, you know, CIA or FBI. So you think that, so to you, the police, you know, you were arguing with the police, you thought that the police was a thing. No, this is a greater measure of that demonic. So I say that to say, in the body of Christ, often we don't see it that way, because a lot of time there is divisiveness among us. We don't do a certain things and we say, okay, we're about to take over the nation as a people. But then really the reality of it is you can't, because there oneness, unity, the kingdom has a way that it operates. Amen. So that's why the Father is so heavy on, okay, let's establish a culture of oneness as a people. Amen. Let's establish a culture of unity and love so that we can truly take over the nation. We can really change people's life. We can really impact into people's life. Amen. Because it is important so that we can live, because as we're living in the Father's house, the only way we can live in his house is by operating through the spirit of oneness, unity. That's how we built his house. That's how we built his culture. That's how we become one. Amen. So, yeah. So I really, really thank you. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet so we could just kind of pray real, briefly. And then you guys are good to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Abba, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your word that went forth. Let it fall in the soil of our heart. Let it, Father God, transform. Let it renew. Let it, Father God, do what it was intended to do. Father, we need more of you. Father, let, Father God, hallelujah, your word penetrate, Father, so we can, Father God, build a culture, Father God. So we can build a bond, so we can, Father God, fill your house, so we can work in your house, so we can do the things which you have put us on earth to do. So we can really, Father God, dominate, Father, as children of God, as children of the house. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Father, we submit unto your word. Father, we give you permission to do what you do best. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.